listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to this episode of LA Talk Radio, the show, Your Ultimate Life, designed to help you create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy by serving and doing good things. Today, I've got a special guest, and I love bringing people on who add good to the world in their own unique way. I've got Tio Rohan with me. Tio, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here.
Great. So we were just chatting in the green room ahead of time. I don't do like introductions and that kind of thing. And you ask if you should introduce yourself. And I said, no, I was going to help you do that. And so here's the way I kind of like to do that. Everybody that I interview, and I just did another interview on another show that I have a podcast this morning, just an hour ago. And I'd like to start with some version of the following question, which is, you know, we breathe, right? And when we breathe in oxygen, we breathe out carbon dioxide. And so we add carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. And just like that, our presence and the things that we're about in the world add something to the world. And so the question I like to ask guests is, how does Tio, and I don't want you to be modest, but I want to know how Tio adds good to the world.
I love the way you framed it. So let me, I'll just share what comes up. For me, the way I add good in the world is I have, over the past decade of since my spiritual awakening in 2014, I have discovered the love for life, which was something that was completely missing for me for my life. Even up until, I would say, a few years ago, I really discovered this deep, deep, deep love for life in all its rawness, and all its beauty, with all its dark sides that are not as pleasant, but I just love life so much. And my way of bringing good to the world is just sharing that love and awakening that love in people. That it doesn't matter how the world is, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you can still love life. But I have been to the depths of darkness, hell, whatever you want to call it. And even in those places, I fought for life because I loved it. So that's what comes up for me. That's how I bring good to the world.
I love that answer, Tio. Thanks you, because I've never had anybody say anything like that. People have talked about enjoying life or loving life before. But you said several things. You said your love, and it was visible, your love for life, you love life. And then you said something interesting, and this is what I want you to comment on further, maybe. In your loving life, you said, even in dark places, even when life is hard, even when, you know, you get a call from the government and says you owe tax or whatever, right?
That's nothing.
Yeah. You know, okay. Yeah, whatever. But whatever it is, no matter what happens, you can still love life. And I want you to talk about it. And I want you to tell me why that's nothing and what isn't nothing. And tell me about this loving life and why we can do it in tough spots.
Okay. So I'll add some more context for people. So I am an ayahuasca shaman, and I did an apprenticeship for 8 years, and I live in the Brazilian jungle. So I love the fact that I'm an Indian guy, which people might have figured out by my accent. I'm an Indian guy living in the Brazilian jungle doing a talk show on LA radio. I love that, just to begin with. And
well, take that apart. And a shaman, a guide living in Brazil in the northeastern jungle, because I had to look that up after we chatted before, make sure I knew where you were. And here you are talking on LA Talk Radio about what you do as a guide, a ayahuasca guide in the Brazilian jungle. So anyway, keep going about how we can find love life no matter what.
Yeah, so the reason I brought up that context is that, you know, ayahuasca it's becoming more and more popular in the world, but for those who may not have heard about it, don't know much about it, it's a sacred brew from the Amazon, which produces altered states of consciousness. And usually, you know, the purpose is to explore spirituality, to explore healing. And so I've been doing that for almost 12 years now. And it is a very broad spectrum experience. Some people will experience divinity and joy. Some people will experience their traumas and the healing that comes after that. So, you know, anything can happen in between that. They can go to darkness, they can go to hell, everything. And I personally have had over 600 experiences, which again, is a lot for people who don't know it. It's a lot. And I've experienced the whole spectrum. So I've been to heaven, I've been to the bliss and the divinity and enlightenment that people talk about. And I've also been to the hell of hells. And, you know, that's why like the government calling me to say I owe taxes is so experienced real darkness. I also facilitated over 1,000 people, and I've heard stories which are so, you know, it actually hurts even just to listen to the stories. And after seeing all of that, it's like, yeah, if the government calls me for taxes, I pay the taxes or deal with it. You know, it's like, we make such a big thing about something that is actually so trivial in the grand scheme. And that I think is how the love for life has come, is that if you really zoom out and you can see life from higher consciousness, everything that we consider painful, unpleasant, dark, uncomfortable, it's so trivial in the grand beauty. And what happened for me was that I got connected to that perspective. I got glued into that perspective, so that no matter what is happening, I see the bigger picture always. And that keeps me detached from, you know, wanting to give up or wanting to suffer unnecessarily or complain about it or whatever. It's like, okay, something tough is happening. Let me feel it. Let me dance with it. Let me deal with it. Let me face the challenge. Let me face the problem, the obstacle, and overcome it. It's like there's so many attitudes that we have that we can take on that can make life really enjoyable and playful versus and sufferable.
I love that. And so you say a thing comes, and I was, you know, I said taxes, but it could be anything, mm-hmm. illness, or, you know, wind breaks your window, or your partner leaves you, or whatever. Some things happen. And you said several things. First, you said you can, if you choose, and the ayahuasca medicine path is one way that people use, but to get to a place of a higher view where you look at the world and the universe and your place in it from a higher place. And just doing that gives you a chance to look at each of these individual things and realize all of them, or nearly all of them, are almost insignificant. They're just these little tiny things that we do have to go through, but they're not like falling off a cliff, you know? I mean, they're little things. And then you said, when you choose your way of dealing with it, you can feel it, you can dance with it, and I love you that you said that, you can do whatever. And what a beautiful way to think about it. And the bottom line is understanding that allows you to just love the process, which is life.
Mm-hmm. It's so, you know, I will share more of this higher perspective, because it was an evolution that it took some time to really start living from it and see see life from that in different directions or different aspects. So the evolution of it really came to the place where it was that I actually had the opportunity. Like I was, you know, in one of my experiences, I was offered the opportunity that you can just live from enlightened consciousness. Like, you know, these spiritual masters and gurus and all these people who say that they live from that. And I was given the opportunity for that. And, you know, I had already been in that state for, I think, 4 to 5 days at that time. And the reason, that question was put in front of me is like, okay, you can live in this for the rest of your life. And I was like, you know what? It's way too boring for life to be so one-dimensional. I actually love that life is so multidimensional, that it has so many different aspects to it, that if I'm just in heaven and bliss all the time, and there isn't this duality and this contrast where there are challenges, where there's pain, where all of these things are happening that are the fullness of life, Like the way I see it is that divine God, whatever you want to call it, right? It got bored with heaven and it created the world that we have as the highest offering to experience life. It's like on earth, you get to experience the full spectrum. You have heaven, you have paradise. I live in one of those paradises. For those who are on video, you can see, like, and I live in the jungle. It's a true paradise, but you also have the hell of hells right here on earth. And as humans, we get to experience the full spectrum, and we do have the power to navigate and choose our experiences. So in that experience, I actually chose that I don't want a pure heaven all the time. I actually, my power, I'm using my power to choose a more full spectrum experience of life where I have challenges, where I have problems, where I have whatever I have, and I love all of it. I love that I get to experience the fullness of life.
You know, when you say that, what I'm sure, I'm quite sure that the people that you help that come with the facilitation, there's a whole bunch we're going to dig in still. You said you've had over 600 experiences and you had an 8-year journey as a learning to be a facilitator of all this. But that's in a minute. Right now, your choice to not be in an elevated state felt to you like, if I'm in this elevated state all the time, then everything's bliss and gee, how boring. I would rather be in a place where I experience this full spectrum with the good and the bad and the storms and the sunshine and the whole thing. And I'm thinking that the people you help really appreciate that because people come to an experience like that or another kind. To get to deal with challenges, to deal with traumas, or to glimpse the divine, or to go park there for conversations and awakenings that they have. And if you were there all the time, I'm thinking that you'd be way less effective as a facilitator because you're regularly in the full spectrum and you can guide, help, talk, relate in that way. I don't know. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, and I feel like there are different types of teachers. You know, there are the enlightened, the people who live in enlightened states all the time and they have their place. And then there are people like me who are more relatable. But like I would still say that a majority of the time I am in a very positive place. But I, you know, like when I get frustrated, I actually enjoy it so much I cannot tell you. Like when I'm experiencing frustration, it's like, it's so good to feel frustrated once in a while. It's so good to feel annoyed once in a while. Like even in that moment, I'm like you know, having gratitude for the person who's frustrating or the situation that's frustrating me to be able to experience that because it breaks me out of my habit, my pattern. And that for me, like I truly feel like this is the highest divinity. This is the highest enlightenment, if you want to call it. It's like you get to live life fully. You don't have to just get parked in one vacation spot for the rest of your life is that you actually get to live everything. That is so beautiful. To me, it's like you can offer me all the enlightenment. I would always choose this again and again. And I feel like that's what God does. Like if God had, like we consider God to be all powerful and it could fix all the problems. It chose not to. It chose to keep the world the way it is, because there's a beauty in all of it.
You know, that's really interesting because I'm sure the people hearing that, what you're sitting there enjoying being frustrated or enjoying this negative thing, like, are you nuts? But the truth of what you're saying comes through too, because if you think of the divine as all powerful, then people say, okay, why didn't the divine create life so that there are no problems? And your answer seems to be, and I actually agree with you, the point of the problems is not just to have diversity, but to have opportunity to learn to have gratitude and to deal with these things. In other words, to my both willingness and to I'm not trying to avoid, but willingness and ability to deal with those vicissitudes, those challenges, those fiery darts, as it were. What does that sound like?
Yeah, absolutely. Like there is, and we do get hurt, and it really hurts. There is pain, and pain is very real. It's not an illusion. Like a lot of spiritual masters will say pain is an illusion, and this world is an illusion, and all of this, and you can transcend all of it. It's like when it hurts, it hurts, and it's very real. You can say what you want, you feel it. And you like
Yeah.
a lot of people who feel it, then they want to numb it. And I was that person. Like I was prior to my spiritual awakening, I was using all kinds of substances for over a decade. And I was loving those substances because it kept me functional. Because if I stopped, it would bring me to a pretty dark place. So, I have, like I said, I've been to the hell of hells, whether it was substances, whether it was suicidal ideation, whether it was heavy, heavy, heavy depression. Like I've been through all of that. And today I would say I don't regret, I wouldn't change any part of my life up until this point because it brought me here. It gave me an appreciation for life in its wholeness. If I did not have all of that, like life would just be so freaking one-dimensional. It would be so boring.
So we share that, having had a lot of experience with depression and substances, at least, and suicidal stuff. Anyway, so I get that, and I really think that also adds to your wisdom, your ability to facilitate and do what you do, because you have, if you think of the world as a map, so the world has a map. Experiences, if you think of experiences that are possible in life, it has a map too. And what you're saying is you've been to these different quadrants and areas in the map. And so you know what the terrain's like, what it feels like, what the experiences in the body is like and in the heart. And you said several times when it hurts, it hurts. And you said that with a lot of passion, which means the reality of that experience is there. And I think all of that makes it more effective. And makes you in the position and things you've chosen to do now more effective. Does that make sense to you, or am I off base?
Yeah. Like I love to be someone who has been there, and I feel it just adds so much more to my capacity to help people because I really know what it feels like. I also, it gives me the understanding of how much avoidance is there to face the thing and move through it and move beyond it, because that's what, like the people who you said, there'll be a lot of people listening to this who will be like, are you crazy? Why would you want to experience this? It's because I've been to the other side, and I, for the majority of time, I live on the other side. So for me, it's not from a low glimpsing the high, it's from a high glimpsing the low. And when you're living in a high glimpsing the low from time to time, you have an appreciation for it. The same way that you're living in a low glimpsing the high from time to time, you have an appreciation for it. It's just that the contrast gives you the beauty of the duality. But if yeah, like it's having been there gives me so much more compassion, but also really allows me to cut through people and be like, I see where you are just avoiding and escaping, and I don't want to force you to confront it for some masochistic reason. It's like I will give you the exact tools and techniques for you to get to the other side so that you face it once and for all and get done with it. Because when we are not facing the pain, we are microdosing the pain every single moment of our life until we deal with it. So it's like instead of taking one dose of the pain and being done with it, we're literally microdosing every single pain, which actually becomes a pretty big dose of pain because not one pain that we have, pains which we are microdosing all simultaneously. And we just are living in a lot of pain. And I've been there, so I know what I'm talking about. But like you keep dealing with each of them, and like with ayahuasca, sometimes in a single night you can deal with a bunch of them. And you come out on the other side and you're just so much lighter and you're done with it for life. Like you're not carrying this weight, this burden for the rest of your life. It's one time you deal with it and it's done.
So this brings me to a question that I had to start with. You said, there was a time in your life when you dealt with depression and darkness and substances and all those kinds of things. And you've referenced a couple of times, at least, a spiritual awakening. And people come to that thought or idea a lot from different directions. What brought you to a place where it was like, okay, it's, you know, it's time to step over the threshold. We got to get past the micro dose of pain, and I've got to do something else. Tell me a little bit about what happened, or a lot of it. Tell me about what happened.
So my awakening was purely an act of grace. I was not seeking it. I was actually a hardcore skeptic and a cynic and an atheist. So I was very much against spirituality. I was very much against therapy and healing and all of that. So I lived there for 21 years. And I saw through the hypocrisy of religion and spirituality from a very young age. So I just, that was my model of reality, was that it's all full of shit. And I know better. And I found the substances that helped me to deal with this and at least stay functional. So I don't believe in any of this. I'm not looking for any of this. I just love being high on these substances. Like, I wouldn't call that being high anymore. It's actually being numb. Let's just put it this way. I love being numb on these substances. And I had an LSD experience in 2014, on the New Year of 2014. And that was so beautiful. It was still not a spiritual experience, but it was so beautiful. And then I had heard that ayahuasca is the most powerful psychedelic in the world. So I was like, okay, let's go get high on the highest psychedelic in the world. So I went looking for a high. I did not go looking for spirituality. I did not go looking for an awakening or healing or any of it. Like, I was so numb from the pain. I did not even acknowledge that I have pain in my life. I was so disconnected from my body and everything. I was not looking for healing. On the surface, my life was perfect. I was working as a software developer at Amazon. Living in Seattle with a lake-facing apartment, everything was perfect. So I was not looking for change. And grace happened. Grace was simply like, I had ayahuasca to get high, but instead of getting high, I met with the divine, not as some personified god or deity, but just the divine mystery, the beauty, whatever you want to call it. I don't like to put words on it, but I call it the divine. And that just changed everything. And then, so I had four experiences the first time I did it. So the first one, I met the divine. The second time, I was shown my future, which was a calling to train as a shaman. And the third one, it just cleansed me of all of the substance addictions that I had. And overnight, I was just done with it. Like, it's been 12 years now, and I've not touched anything since then. So that was my story. And
what was the fourth one? You said the third one cleansed you, and the fourth one was what?
The fourth one was actually just simple. It was very much like learning to be in a place where I don't need anything, where I don't need to be chasing either substances or any of the material things. And like, I can actually just be happy with being for hours on end. Like, I was just sitting there and I was just like, this is beautiful. That was it.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Personally have a lot of interest in that because I died in 2018 and had some conversations with the divine. And this isn't the time for that, but I wrote a couple of books about that because I write books about everything. All right. So those four experiences, you met with the divine, and I want to dig into that a little bit. And I know it's hard because we don't have language for that kind of experience. Mm-hmm. We just don't. And every time we try to do it, it never works. But I want to try to do it anyway and get do what we can do, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So the divine was presence. It was in love. It was everything. It was this. Did it make you feel differently at all about yourself in terms of the being that you were that was in interaction with the divine?
So I was just, there was no me. Like, you know, you're talking about what it did to me. Like, I disappeared and I was just left in pure consciousness, awareness, whatever you want to call it. Again, you know, words are very short for that, but like There was no such thing as me anymore who has this identity or who has all of this story. I was just the one who was experiencing what was happening, and it was all just mind-blowing. It was beautiful. It was blissful. And when I came down from the experience, the whole thing lasted only 45 minutes, which is unusual for an ayahuasca experience. It's usually 4 hours. Mine lasted 45 minutes. But it felt like it's been lifetimes that I was, you know, it was in this timeless, eternal space. Mm-hmm. So for someone who's done psychedelics, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've not done, it's like you just go out of time and a minute can feel like eternity.
Right.
And, you know, there are poets who have written about that. There's lots of people who have written about that. But I was actually experiencing it. It wasn't just this mental thing. It was like I was actually there. And I had lost my body. I just became one with everything. So, you know, I was having this multi-dimensional consciousness experience where I was a frog at the same time as I was a leaf, as I was a branch, as I was a tree, as I was the music that was playing in the room, the waves of the music passing through the walls. Like, I was just actually becoming everything. And then it just zoomed out and it kept going further and further and further until I met with the heart of life, cosmos, divinity, whatever you want to call it. I can, like, there are no words for it, but it was like I was just there in pure consciousness.
Good. Thank you for making the effort to put some words around it. And I know, well, yeah, I know what it sounds like, but it, for me, at least, at listening to you, I get it because mm-hmm. I've had those experiences too. And here's what I want to say to the listeners for a second. You are hearing Tio talk, and you're hearing me say, gee, I understand that because I've had experiences like that. And they didn't have to do, in my case, with psychedelics. But what I want to tell you is you are also part of that infinite essence that we have been attempting to articulate. And your ability to be part of, to be loved by, to experience unity with, those are all inherent in your personal divine nature. Would you agree with that, Theo, or do you think I'm out to lunch?
Totally. I feel what I want to add to that is that the main thing is that this is not conditional upon beliefs. Like, one of the messages that I stand by strongly is that in the whole spiritual industry kind of makes everything conditional upon belief. It's like you have to believe for it to work for you. And I am the living example of, I was not just agnostic. I was hardcore cynic. I did not believe. I was against. I had negative belief, if anything. And it still worked because reality is never conditioned upon belief. Like, and this divinity is real. And it's, you don't need to believe in it for it to work for you. And that's why my work, a lot of it is centered around helping skeptics and cynics and atheists to experience higher consciousness and divinity. Because with me especially, I will not give you a story and I will not ask you to believe anything. I will make you have the real experience where you meet it. And I've done that with lots and lots of people. Like, it works. You don't need to believe anything. You just get to experience it for real.
You said something really key, which is reality is not dependent on my belief. And a silly example of that is I don't need to believe in the law of gravity to step off a building and fall. I don't care what I believe about the law of gravity. If I step off a building, I'm going down. And so the law works. And so what you're saying is what I believe doesn't have anything to do with what is. And what is this universal connectedness, consciousness, love, completeness, unity. That's what is. And it is our negative belief, as it were, or the walls or things that we build that separate us from that kind of thing. And if we're willing to experiment, and we don't have to believe to experiment, we just have to go see. So let's just go see. And what we see when we find is the reality.
There's so much to it, which, again, It's not about us talking about it and describing it as that people actually need to experience it, because language will always get trapped by the mind, which will try to interpret it in some way, which, like, the mind can only interpret in the context of what you already know. So if
Right.
you have not had that experience, it just won't make sense. It'll just end up being words which are empty. So I always invite people into direct experience. Don't talk, don't believe, don't make up stories, don't judge. Like, just experience it. And again, that is very tricky, because there's so many people offering all kinds of promises and experiences and this and that. And even with ayahuasca and psychedelics, we have been talking a lot about that. And I do want to, put kind of a notice that these are very powerful substances, and if they're not handled with care, they can be dangerous. Like, a lot of people nowadays, because ayahuasca has become so much more, widespread around the world, there are lots of people who don't know how to serve it with the right training, and a lot of bad experiences are happening. So it's not guaranteed that just if I take ayahuasca or a psychedelic, I will meet the divine. That's not how it works, because a lot of people end up having negative experiences. So it is to do it with the person that you feel trust with. It is to do it with the person who will not be adding stories, because that's also something I've seen so much in the industry, is that people are adding their own narratives of what is divinity, what is God, how you have to approach it, how what you need to believe. And it's like finding someone who will either be agnostic or just help you to get to the experience and interpret it for the way that helps you and fits your which resonates with you. I feel like that becomes more and more important as we go deeper into this conversation, that nowadays you can drink ayahuasca pretty much everywhere, which is not, in my opinion, a great thing, because it's being misused pretty badly. I've heard some real horror stories. There are also very positive stories coming, but it's like the number of people who are suffering and then creating a negative opinion about ayahuasca is also very unfortunate, because it's not the ayahuasca, it's that the person who's serving it is not doing it properly. It's like anything, right? If a doctor doesn't prescribe you the medication properly and you overdose on it, it's the doctor's fault. It's not the medication. It's the doctor's fault. So it's the same thing with the facilitator. If they just give you too much ayahuasca, or they give you too little and nothing happens, or too much happens, it's the facilitator who do not know how to handle it.
That's true, and I'm thankful that you added that, because just like anything that we try to do, it's important to figure out your relationship, where you are, who you're with, how it works, and everything else. So thank you for saying that. Back to the four experiences you had. So the first one you've described, was it the second one that freed you from your need or desire for other substances?
That was the third one. So in the second one, I was first shown my future,
Oh, the
and
future part. Talk about that a little
yes.
bit. There's no question. In fact, the podcast I was recording earlier, we were talking about spiritually transforming experiences and that yearning and feeling that comes up in our spirit that we need to be doing something, or maybe something big. We need to step into a calling or deeper into one we got, or completely change direction, whatever that feeling. So, and that, people interpret that a little bit as direction about what they maybe should do next. Talk about the future, where you said, you had the impression or saw yourself as training people. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I was basically, it was kind of shown as glimpses of the future, and those many of those moments have already happened in my life. Like, when I was ha having the experience, I was having a deja vu, because I was like, oh shit, this is exactly what I saw 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, 8 years ago. Like, so I was being shown moments that actually ended up happening. The way I interpreted it is that I'm being shown a potential timeline, and it's a calling. And it was the first time that when I was seeing those visions, I heard my heart speak, and my heart expressed a desire that this is what I want. And up until that point in my life, I had only experienced mental desires. Like, the mind saying, I want this, I want this, I want this. I never heard my heart saying, I want something. And it felt so different. It felt so real. And that's what made it a no-brainer for me, that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to choose this potential timeline. I'm going to jump timelines because I had a whole life unfolding. And I would have gone on to become a very successful software developer, probably working in the space of AI, making many, many millions by now. And I chose a timeline jump where I did this training and this is who I am now. So I always see it, and the way I guide people, because I also help people interpret the experiences when I'm serving ayahuasca. So the way I interpret it is always, this is a potential timeline. You have to understand what it means. What is the price of it? What is, whether it's really something you want to do, whether you want to do it now or not. Because the reality is we have to live with the consequences of our decisions too. You know, I don't have any regrets walking away from those millions. My family doesn't feel the same way. There are many other people who don't feel the same way. I lost a lot of friends because they couldn't understand my decisions. So there are lots of prices that come with the decisions that we make, but that's true for all the cases, right? If I had not said yes to this, I wouldn't be sitting here doing this podcast with you. I would have probably been very miserable. Probably, who knows what I might have ended up doing with my life, because I was headed on a very dark trajectory. So whether I would still be alive or not itself is a big question. And I have zero regrets. I'm so in love with life. Like, I couldn't care less for the money I apparently lost.
So that's really interesting, because you said several things about consequences of our choices, and the consequences are real. People are going to think or do whatever they think or do. And what other people think of us is actually none of our business anyway. But we make it our business by deciding, well, they'll think this or that. And you said, you know, your family thinks you're nuts for leaving a successful software career, and now, you know, with AI stuff, you'd be one of the all those people they're predicting, all these millionaires made from AI. I'm talking to one. Okay, cool. And so, and then you said, so there's so much we could talk about that one too. What do you, when people are faced with those decisions, whether they've come with you to facilitate or not, if you just talk about the feelings that come to us that are not the feelings we normal are normal thinking, but we have an experience of a feeling or a yearning or a desire that's different than that, and it feels different. There's a different quality to it, like you said, it's different. What would you say to people that have that, and how do they handle that and think about what to do in terms of that sort of decision?
There's so much that can be said about this. And, you know, one of the things when I heard you speaking earlier is that, you know, people start internalizing what other people might think about them.
Yeah.
And the way I coach people through these kinds of things is like, when you are looking for excuses, you will find excuses. When you are looking for a way out, you will find a way out, because that's the power of consciousness. That's the power of the mind. It will find what you're looking for. It will find the proof of what you're looking for. So if you're a skeptic looking for proof that there is nothing divine, your mind will find that. If you're a believer looking for proof that there is something divine, your mind will find that. If you're looking for a reason not to follow your calling, your mind will find the reason. If you're looking for a reason to double down on it, your mind will find the reason. So that's the power of the mind. That's the power of consciousness. And that's the training, is like learning the power. And you have to become sovereign, because that's what it means to own the responsibility and the consequences. That finally, you're going to have to live with the regret or the consequences of whatever decisions you make. That's sovereignty. And that's kind of what I help people to emerge into, is that make whatever choice you want. There is no right or wrong. There is absolutely no right or wrong. You have to live the life that you will be happy with, that you will, you know, at the end of your life say that I'm so happy with the decisions I made, or I'm so sad about the decisions that I made. And that moment is now. Like, those decisions are happening every single moment right now.
I love the word sovereign. I just got a book that's going to be released in about 2 weeks called The Sovereign Architect, which talks about that, everything you just said, and how to decide and what to do and owning your sovereignty and everything. So I love it. You said it. I'm like, yeah, that. All right. So isn't it interesting that you've said that, the glimpses of the future, which you've now recognized as you've walked the path, The consequences of choice that you make are real. And when you make them from that place of truth about who you really want to be, instead of having it be infected by all the rest, it isn't surprising to me that the next piece of your thing was a loss of the desire or need for any numbing substances. Because when you own your life, and I'm going to say this, you can tell me if you agree or disagree, but when you own your life and you are truly operating from the essence that is you, the heart, as it were, the real, there is no need for any numbing or distracting or whatever substances. It's like I was using those because life sucked, because I wasn't listening to XYZ. And now that I have heard and chosen to be part of this truth and own my life and the consequences and everything else, I don't want to miss any of it. Why would I take stuff that is like taking away those juicy experiences you were talking about? You know what I mean?
I feel it is very nuanced what you said, because you can, and I'm saying this, you know, witnessing a lot of people who are following their calling, and still there are lots of parts of their life that they have not dealt with, which are very painful. So they don't need to numb themselves because they're not following the calling, but they're still numbing themselves because there are traumas that they have not dealt with. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, the internal story that gets created is that, well, I don't need to deal with that because I'm following my calling. And I can just keep numbing and keep going through it. And it doesn't actually work, because that repressed side of you needs to be unlocked to fully answer your calling and fulfill your mission, your purpose.
I couldn't agree more.
So I see this a lot in the space of even, you know, people who are following the sovereign path, who are living a spiritual life, who are doing all of the things that, you know, a lot of it looks right, but a lot of the people I work with, so I said, you know, one big part of my work is with skeptics and cynics and atheists, but another big part of my work is with practitioners. Like, there are psychologists, there are therapists, there are healers, spiritual teachers, all kinds of people that I have already worked with, who come because they realize that no matter what they have done, there is still something that they've not dealt with, and they're finally ready to deal with it. So I would say that there are many reasons to numb, and being true to yourself and acknowledging that, and then getting the right help or guidance or whatever you need to deal with that, so that you can actually get off. So I'll come back to my own decision to stop. It wasn't that the pain went away. It was that I dropped the story that I need to stop or numb myself from the pain. I developed the story that I am more powerful than the pain, and I can deal with it as it keeps coming up. Because also the reality is that it doesn't all come up all at the same time. It comes up as you keep moving through life. Different pains come up and you keep dealing with them. What's my way? Whether it's painful, uncomfortable, unpleasant, whatever it is, it's challenging. I will deal with it rather than numbing myself. And, you know, it's a gradual process. So while I stopped substances, I was still, you know, overeating for a few years. I was eating a lot of chocolate for a few years. That stopped maybe 3-4 years into my journey. I was watching a lot of TV. That also went down slowly. I was playing chess. Even up until recently, that has been, you know, going down slowly, slowly, slowly. So there's so many ways that we numb, distract, escape, even when we are living a very full life. And it just, the way I share it is that life becomes fuller and fuller, and there's less and less distraction and things that steal life from you, steal the joy of life from you.
Thank you. I love that too. Especially when you said, you know, if there's some things that you haven't either acknowledged or you aren't aware of or addressed, either way, they rob your power. They leak your power. And so you're not fully, even if you think you're doing whatever it is, you got this lead weight that you're dragging around and you can't jump very high because there's this lead weight hanging on. And the numbing takes any form, substances, TV, distraction, social media, scrolling, I don't care. Thousands of things that you could do. And the truth is, they're just energy leaks. and it prevents you or holds you back from being a coherent light that is the truest expression of that oneness that you're a piece of, a node of, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know, you have this ability, and wherever you're leaking for whatever reason is a leak, essentially, from that opportunity. And nobody's going to make you, but you have the opportunity to grow it, to be more coherent in that way. I think of it, I guess, like a laser, you know, a laser that leaks, and the more coherent the light gets, the more powerful it gets, the more focused, the more clear, and all the rest, right?
Yeah, it's a beautiful way of describing it. And, you know, also just to remind people that, like, here we are redefining what it means to lead a spiritual life. It's not about becoming enlightened and just sitting and preaching or going into a cave or distancing yourself from society. Like, I am living a very full life, engaged. Like, yeah, sure, I live in the jungle, but I'm on LA Talk Radio. You know, like, I am connecting with the world. I'm hosting people from all over the world. I'm part of the community here. I'm very engaged in the world and society. It's not, I've separated myself. I want to serve fully. The only reason I'm here is that ayahuasca is legal in Brazil for spiritual purposes. And I do believe that ayahuasca is meant to be experienced in its home environment, which is a jungle. So I don't want to be traveling the world doing ayahuasca illegally, you know, smuggling it through and giving it to people in an environment where they don't feel safe because the police can come in any moment. I don't want to do all of that. I prefer that people travel, come here. I've built this beautiful sanctuary. You get to come here, you get to experience it in its native environment. And that's the reason I'm in the jungle. It's not to distance or disconnect from society. And, you know, a lot of people tell me, oh, you live in the jungle, it must be so easy to be peaceful. It's really not. Like, if you realize what living in the jungle entails, the amount of challenges that you face, and then you're also faced with the challenge of facing yourself all the time because there's no distractions. Like, it's right. You with you, right? Like, in the city, you're full of distractions. The modern world, like you were saying, you know, social media scrolling, you know, we have been given more and more distractions every single day with the age of AI now. It's like, it's going to become worse and worse. Like, there's going to be endless distractions. So, living in the jungle, you're faced with you, and that is the biggest challenge of all. So it's not an easy life at all. You don't have all the modern comforts, you don't have all the support that you get so used to in a city. You know, the transition from Seattle and Mumbai to the jungle was pretty intense and challenging.
I imagine. I love it. I need to make sure we get to something. We've just got about 2.5 minutes left. I want to make sure people know how to find you. So I know you told me the O in T-O, it's not a O, it's a zero. I want you to tell us where to find you. So people have heard you talk. Maybe they want to see more of what you've said. I don't know if you have books or YouTube videos or website. Maybe people are interested in coming to see you about exploring their own spiritual journey. Tell us how to find you and do all that, because I want that to be part of the show.
Yeah, so my website is theinfinitezero.com, which is my name. So T-O is short for The Infinite Zero. And I also write on LinkedIn pretty much daily. So if you want, you can find my writings on LinkedIn. I am in the process of writing a book. I'll be publishing more videos also. But right now, there's pretty much nothing out there. I used to do a lot of it. I took down everything because I felt like it's changed. My message has changed. Everything has changed. So I'm going to be doing a new set of stuff going forward. But the website is theinfinitezero.com. If you search for T-O Rohan, T-I-0, the number zero, Rohan, which is an Indian name. If you search for that, even on Google, I should show up. Otherwise, I'm guessing there'll be some show notes maybe or somewhere that they can find me. If you're meant to find me, you'll find me.
I just wanted to make sure we talk about that because the infinite zero, I mean, we could do a whole segment on that conversation if we wanted to, and we don't have time. We've got about a minute and a half left. I want to encourage you for who you're being and what you're doing. So I want to thank you, and I want to encourage you for following that and choosing to be a focused message, and the fact that you just, well, I'm adjusting my message. You know, the further we get along the path, or the higher up the mountain, or however you want to talk about it, the vision, the view gets different. And so we become something different all the way along. And even though you had those experiences that dramatically changed you, you are still evolving and focusing and becoming all of that even more. Thank you for being here with me today and sharing everything.
Thank you so much. It's a beautiful conversation, and I hope it reaches many, many people.
So listeners, I want you to take this to heart. I met, there are no accidents. So Tio and I met, the Infinite Zero and I met through another mutual acquaintance, and he chose to be here with this, me on the show, and I'm grateful for that. I want you to listen to this again, because the idea that you can create your life as a sovereign is true. The idea that there's a thousand distractions is also true, and nobody's going to fix them except you. And finding the right help and the right path is on you or me or him to do that so that we can. And the purpose isn't to sit in a cave. The purpose is to be the very best you can be, to live the fullest expression of life, which includes all the grumpy stuff. And as you do that, you will be able to find your way and your path to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.